friends, Romans, countrymen. What a time to be alive. And I'll leave it at that for now. Fortunately, right now today, you're listening to KMUN. And we'll try to keep the jump scares to a minimum. We are in the middle of our spring pledge drive. The station has been busy, phones ringing, playlists playing, and KMUN's dedicated volunteers are keeping things humming along as they have for more than 40 years. And now it's time for State of the Station. This is when staff at KMUN give you a quick rundown on where we're at, what we've done, and where we're going. My name is Katie Frankowitz. I'm the news director here at KMUN, and I'll be leading this excursion today. Joining me in the studio today are station manager Mari Bergeron, program director Jack Harris, membership director Liz Talley, and operations director Viri Haugen. Hello, Liz. So you were fairly new here last pledge drive, if I recall. You had been here just, were you even here a couple months at that point? Like weeks, maybe?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I started technically in June of last year. So for those unfamiliar, we do start the pledge drive process pretty early. So by late summer, we're sending out luminary letters and we're ramping up full speed for the pledge drive in the fall. So yeah, it had only been a few months. I do think last year we did have a massive pledge drive. It was our biggest on record. We were very blessed with that support. So I'm really hoping that we can achieve similar numbers this year. But last year we did have the advantage of being in the headlines a lot more, public media in general was.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. So if you're new here, lucky you, you didn't have to hear about this already. Last year, public radio lost a lot of money. The Trump administration decided to claw back funding that had been previously awarded to stations like ours all across the country. And then, of course, the big hitters like NPR. And for us, that was huge. We had to make really significant changes, had to rethink our programming, had to rethink some of our operations. It was huge. And our community really stepped up. Liz, you just mentioned the record pledge drive that we had. It was pretty astounding. And I don't think any of us were expecting quite that response. We are in a difficult position going forward where KMUN, we've been around for 40 years. We've been solid, especially in recent years. But that does mean that our asks are going to look different going forward because we lost money that would normally be coming to us every year. So maybe, Liz, could you talk a little bit? We're going to have Mari touch on a lot of the financial stuff, but could you talk a little bit about the goals for this pledge drive and some of the best ways for people to support us in this new reality?
Yeah, so as you had mentioned, it is a continuous need for support. From last year onward, we're always going to be asking for these larger goals. This year, we're hoping to raise $75,000 as our asking goal, and we're also hoping to gain as many new members as we can. We've set the ambitious goal of getting 43 new members to join, which that's one for every year that KMUN has been on the air. And we've always hovered around that 1,200 mark of active members, you know, since KMUN has been around. And we're really hoping to get up to 1,300 by the end of this year. So we're hoping to make good progress towards that goal during this pledge drive. I think a big goal for us is to kind of broaden our base of support. People come, people go out of the listening region, but it really has been about 1,200 people who have been supporting us. It would be great to expand that number. And a great way to do that is to gift a membership if you're already a member yourself. Also, needing this kind of continued support, repeaterships are a great way to provide continued support.
Repeaterships kind of, I feel like it explains itself, but for people who might not cotton on to the term immediately, could you explain it to us?
Sure. So there are people who have recurring contributions set up for us. So usually it's a monthly amount that comes directly to the station, and the name comes from a radio repeater.
It sends a signal, passes the word along. And you also mentioned gifting a membership. What does that mean? And is it creepy or not creepy?
I am certainly hopeful that it's not creepy, but it is when you go onto our website, it's as if you were making a donation for yourself. You'll be prompted and asked if you would like to gift the membership. It's great. It's a great way to like increase our numbers and help KMUN be on the mind of more people. And with every membership, They do get a subscription to The Current. They hear from us regularly. So it does keep, you know, the word about KMUN, it expands that for us. So.
And The Current, for listeners who aren't aware, is a free bi-monthly publication that we put out here at KMUN. It includes station news, the station schedule, importantly, if you're looking for a specific show or looking to explore our show options and want to know when to tune in. And it contains a wealth of community information. So last time we talked, you mentioned some hopes to develop additional volunteer tasks here at the station, or really to just be aware of some of the special skills that people bring that maybe they don't think of as like radio station skills, but we can find creative uses here. So could you talk to me a little bit about work that you've been doing with volunteers, maybe some volunteer tasks that kind of stand out to you? You obviously work with a core group of volunteers that keep the house running, that are the first faces and voices a lot of people encounter if they come to visit the station. So just talk to us about what we're doing in the volunteer world right now.
We have, for those that are, you know, new to, haven't been to the station before, we do have regular front desk volunteers that answer phones in the door. So we really do rely on those folks to greet guests to the station, keep things going. We always have a need for volunteers to help with mailings, and those can be really fun gatherings. But outside of that, we were trying to expand creative ways to get people involved, both, you know, for mostly off-air experience. Something that comes to mind was recently we did the Fisher Poets gathering, and that was really fun that we got some new volunteers that went around with handheld recorders and branded with KMUN microphones and went out and experimented, collecting sounds from the event and talking with people. I think it was a really great way for people to be involved with the station and communicate directly with the community, have some visibility of what we do. I think that was a really interesting way that we got people involved. Similarly, we have folks that don't do anything that ends up going on air. Like, we had some really great photographers that helped with the Fisher Poets gathering, where they walked around the different events and took photos of the various performers and our folks out in the streets interviewing people. So I guess I would encourage people that are interested in getting involved with KMUN, if they are not somebody that sees themselves as being possible on-air talent and they have some other skill that they would like to share, I would love to hear from you. I think there's a lot of ways that we can get people involved, and it has a lot of community value and value at the station off the airwaves.
Thank you so much, Liz, for giving us that update. We're going to turn now to Mari, our station manager. So you are, I feel bad just constantly saying that you're brand new here, but you did start in October, hit the ground running. Could you speak a little bit to where you are right now in this role here at KMUN?
Right. So I feel like I'm finally starting to get my feet under me now. It took a while because there's just so much to learn. There's a lot of new vocabulary when you come into a radio station, and you have to learn at least the basics of radio technology. But having said that, you know, there were a few quick wins we were able to do. We've made some changes in our technology, mostly around streamlining and updating. And we've also done some really simple things like just tidying up and rearranging. So I'm finding that when people step into the station, if they haven't been here for a while, they look around and say, oh, yeah, something feels a little better in here. And we really love that. But I've got to say, Katie, the most valuable thing as I get started here has been meeting all of the fantastic people. You know, the staff, obviously, the volunteers, community partners, and just so many supporters who call in and say hello. You know, everybody has an idea or an opinion or a suggestion, and I just really encourage everybody who wants to reach out, give us a call, tell us what you like, tell us where you think we can improve, and really help us to be better.
I'm going to jump in to talk about just on the theme of change. You are obviously new here. Our former station manager, Susan Peterson, retired. Mari came on. We're so grateful that she is here. We are also seeing some other staff changes kind of following in quick succession. Jack Harris, our program director, who's here in the studio, is going to be moving on shortly. And then Skylar Butenshin, who I work with every day, in the news department, he is also moving away. Could you talk a little bit about those job changes and what is coming up next?
Certainly. So we are in the process of hiring. I'm a little bit sad about that because we love Jack and Skylar and they've contributed so much, but they are both leaving for very positive reasons and they promised that they'll come back to visit. So, you know, we're okay about that. We have had just a tremendous group of people apply for the openings that we have. I'm really impressed by the credentials and the spirit that they bring. I think in the end, we are going to have some really great people come in who can look at the station with new eyes and help us to improve our programming and, you know, provide better services for the community.
Great. We'll probably have more about who those people are and what that's going to look like coming up. Look for stuff in the Current. Certainly, we might have some on-air announcements. More to come on that one. Now, Mari, could you talk a little bit about what some of your priorities and areas of focus are right now? You mentioned just some cleaning up on various levels around the station, but what else is sort of on your to-do list and that you're prioritizing going into this next year?
That's right, Katie. My priority number one is community engagement, and that has multiple aspects. The first one is getting more people excited about KMUN. We're doing that, for example, by getting more involved in community events and finding new ways to appeal to the people in our listening area. Liz spoke about Fisher Poets, and that was amazing. For a number of years, KMUN has done a live broadcast. We did that again, but we also had teams out in the streets interviewing people and taking pictures. And so we're able to touch more people and preserve more of that tremendous event on the air and through our website. So I hope that we can also show up at other events and maybe extend more live performances to people who aren't able to be there on the day of the event or who are in the farther flung areas of our listening area. We want to bring more people in. The other thing is, of course, funding sources. You've already heard about the funding cuts. I don't want to dwell on that, but it means that we have to cast a wider net there too, both bringing more people in and finding new sources of funding. We're looking at grants. We're looking at previous grant tours in new ways, and we're looking for additional sources of funding.
And that leads into the next question I had, and you've touched on some of it already, but I was hoping you'd give our listeners just a little bit more of a picture. What do our finances look like right now? We've been on the air for 40 years. We've really enjoyed a lot of consistency and stability, but last year was a big blow. Again, we don't want to dwell on it. We're moving on. We're moving up. But maybe talk to listeners about, you know, where are we financially? What are some of the decisions that we're considering going into the future? Just how is KMUN looking at sustaining itself for the long haul?
You know, Katie, we're in such a time of transition that it's hard to think about the long haul. We did lose around 20% of our budget, and that was money that we thought we knew we could rely on. That went away. And the community has been very helpful in stepping up and helping us to, little by little, make up that deficit. So really, we're in a much stronger position right now than we had expected we would be. And that's a very good place to be. Letting go of NPR was a hard decision. I'm glad I didn't have to make that myself. But it was really the right decision because that means that we can turn around and make more programming that is homegrown and hyper-local. That really plays to our strength, and it helps us to be more valuable to the community. The flip side of that is that it's more work to make everything from scratch. And you can relate to that, right? It's like, you know, now you have to do all the cooking and baking rather than buying prepared foods or getting takeout. So that means it's just more labor and more time. So I think that means that we will need to add more staff hours to get everything done. That is an area where I think we will require more resources going forward.
Now, Liz mentioned our record pledge drive last year, and then obviously we have a pretty high ask this year. Should listeners and supporters kind of expect that to be the norm going forward?
For the foreseeable future, I think that's right, Katie. We are looking for additional sources. We are trying to bring in grant funds from outside the area because we know everybody's hurting. It's not just us. But for now, we really do need to ask our supporters to dig as deep as they can comfortably and keep us afloat until things turn around.
All right. Well, Mari, it feels like this might be a good time to transition over to Jack, maybe rehash a little bit of last year, but we're not going to dwell on it. But thank you so much for being here today and for giving us that update. I know that a lot of listeners are going to be really happy to hear your voice. You've gotten to know a lot of our volunteers in a very quick amount of time, and certainly I've seen you out in the community at a variety of events.
I grew up here. I went to school here. I was here through high school graduation. And then I went away for college and didn't really come back again until October.
Dun, dun, dun. But you're familiar with the area, and I felt like you were just ready to jump right in and get to know what it is like today here.
It has definitely been a beautiful homecoming for me, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mari. Turning now over to Jack, how are we today?
I'm doing fabulous.
The last time you and I sat in these seats for this type of presentation, we were, of course, talking about federal funding. We were talking about the rescission bill. We were talking about major changes to the programming on KMUN. The biggest one in my world was, of course, the dropping of NPR. For you, it was the dropping of NPR and a host of other things. What I would love to do is have you and me do a little debrief quickly about what we were talking about then versus what is on the air today and what we are doing today. Jack, could you talk a little bit about how the rollout of new programs has gone, things that we were using to replace NPR with, new programmers that we've brought on, just kind of the landscape of a 24-hour cycle on KMUN? What does that look like since last summer?
Yeah, the biggest changes that took the most work were losing the not just the NPR news programs, that was a couple hours of a day, and then the there was a lot of music programming up there. So we had to take KCPB off the air, and that has not come back yet. So all that programming is very, very quiet right now. The new stuff, you and I have worked very closely, and we used to meet a couple times a week trying to figure out how to fill those gaps. And I got to say, you've done 90% of that as far as finding some interesting programming. I've had more than one person tell me they'd much rather drive their kid to school listening to science shows about outer space than the daily horror and terror going on in the world being updated for them on the hour. So,
well, don't listen on Wednesdays then, because we usually run some BBC programming.
But still, I think the feedback I've gotten for what the changes we've made, yeah, there's some people that would love to have their top of the hour headlines and everything, but that stuff is really expensive. There is another format for that right here in town. And I think you've done a great job of formulating, I don't know if it's sustainable yet, we're still determining that, but formulating our news hours Monday through Thursday, I think they're great.
Yeah, I do feel like, you know, obviously none of us wanted that to be the change that we made and the manner in which we made those changes in terms of our hand being forced. But I do feel like there's been a lot of vibrancy on the air and certainly some really interesting programs that you and I have discovered that I'm glad we get to share with people. We have more space to make those kinds of decisions. I think this might be a good time for me to just talk real quick about the news. So with the news department, we now have a full hour that we're filling rather than some minutes here and there interspersed in the NPR newscast. And that looked like a lot of different things there for a while, but it's sort of solidified. We have sort of our regular programs that we run throughout the week. We are doing a Monday through Thursday broadcast rather than a full Monday through Friday broadcast. But in the first half hour of every morning show, you hear a partner program. We have a space show on Monday that I'm particularly fond of. It comes to us out of Florida, and they do just a great job. And then we mix in some BBC. Throughout the week, there's BBC, there's a show from New Hampshire Public Radio. There's some good stuff. And then the second half hour is the local and regional news, which also includes programming that captures some national news. On Tuesdays, we do This Week in Water, which has the focus of water, but is headline news. You know, it pulls stories from a lot of different kinds of places and events, and I really like that one too. And then we, of course, have the ship report, because that doesn't get to go anywhere ever. And we've actually, yeah, we've doubled the ship report that you get to hear. It's we now air the ship report in the evenings as well, which is not something that really we had room for before. And I think that's great. It helps Joanne Rideout, who is the host and creator of the ship report. It gives her kind of another place to give people a chance to listen to her show if they're listening to the radio. Overall, I'm pleased with the changes and the flexibility it offers us. And I'm ramping up election coverage this year in a way that I hadn't before, because there is room to actually give every candidate in the running for something equal time. It's still hampered by the amount of time I have to do those stories, but we have a lot more capacity in terms of space on the air for those kinds of things. But going back to you, Jack, so that we can stop talking about me. Okay, so you're leaving.
I am leaving.
Why would you do such a thing?
Oh, you know, it's mostly personal stuff. I had a vision that I could do this job partly from afar, and then the job just deserves more than that. It's a full-time, boots on the ground, boots in the house kind of job. It's not something I can do from Central Oregon, where a couple of my dogs and a cat and my wife live. That it's just a practical kind of thing. It's not working to try to do both.
Yeah, and I feel like I should really make it clear. Jack has been boots on the ground here. he's not trying to do it from afar.
You've been very involved here.
So we do have a person coming in to replace you. We don't have a lot of details available yet about who that is going to be officially. But I was hoping you would talk a little bit about what they are going to be tasked with tackling. You did mention KCPB. I feel like maybe that's a good time to talk about what the plans are for that.
Yeah, that's probably one of the bigger things. I, in general, hope that I kept the wheels on the place well enough to hand the baton over, to mix some metaphors for you. But Mari and I have been out in the community, as is her motto, and we've been trying to lay some groundwork with some different partners for how the KCPB can be re-envisioned. And I'm happy. I'm going to have to just hand that file over to my replacement, and hopefully him and Mari can keep pushing forward that. We're down to about a six-month countdown to get that back and running. So that'll be huge. And just, you know, keeping the wheels, herding the cats, takes a lot of energy. And but I'm also hoping the next person has room to develop some more shows and to do some of the detail-y stuff that I am not very good at. I'm all right at herding cats, but there's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah, speaking of shows, we were talking not too long ago about the programming that you have brought in and the number of programmers that you've trained and who now have shows on the air. Could you talk a little bit about what that roster looks like? It seemed like it was a really high number that you had brought in.
Well, I was fortunate enough to take over from Emma at a time. Emma pretty much got us through the pandemic. There were a lot of people that stayed on, a lot of people that got it done, but we lost a lot of programmers during that couple of 2 or 3 years. And so when I came on, there was a lot of low-hanging fruit as far as syndicated shows that we were running at reasonable hours of the day, not in the middle of the night. And so, yeah, I think my last count, I think I've brought between 35 and 36, 37 people on, and still have 4 or so to go before I'm done. So I might hit 40 people. I'm excited about them all. How can you ask me to choose one of my children?
I have a favorite child.
I guess you can.
It's my cat.
Anyhow, so things that I think are really great, we brought back the punk rock show. Delvis had been a programmer years and years ago, but brought him back. We got DJ Harvey on the back pocket. It's a really fun show. One of the hard things to do is when a genre is losing a programmer is finding someone else with a passion and knowledge and enthusiasm for that genre to take it over. And so we kind of kept the blues on the air between Michael Mathis and Mike Francis on Monday nights. I really appreciate that. DJ Nico came in and kept the world music going with Upbeat and Steady. Blair Cocking took over at Tuesday mornings every
morning
other
classics.
Week to keep classic music going. So a lot of stuff like that that I'm really happy with. So I could go on and on. There's like, that was 4 or 5, and there are 29 more.
Do you feel like there's still any gaps that you're looking to fill, or that you would be saying to whoever replaces you, hey, this is still a program area, a genre that we're looking for somebody?
One thing we've started, since we've filled up so much of that space. We're looking at other little niches we can do. Andy and Lowell got the marquee going, which is a long overdue weekly update on arts and entertainment on the air. You don't have to wait until Friday when Carol's on to catch some of that. But we've been doing these little 5-minute programs to fill the news hole in a lot of shows that you can listen to their elevator music. We try to put in other things, but the Literal Zone is on Fridays before Science Friday, and we've got the History Diva on Thursdays just before Ezra Klein. We're working on a project with Chamber of Commerce, and there's at least 3 more shows like that that have news holes that we're trying to look for people to fill with something. I think that'd be a great thing to keep going. KCPB, that's the other big hole in the plan, yeah.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining us. We are running a little short on time here, so we're going to turn it on over to Viri.
Hey, Katie.
So, Viri, you are our operations director here at KMUN. And Mari mentioned some of the cleanup and improvements that we've done around the station recently. That was something that you had a hand in. Could you talk a little bit about why the air room in particular looks pretty different right now? What happened to it?
Well, last month we did some robust maintenance, and it was more focused on under the hood things like wiring and labeling. But we pulled everything out of our technical racks and our control board to consolidate the what and the where. And we did some much needed deep cleaning and purging for out of date equipment and fine tuning for everything in there.
Now, there are some other improvements in the works as well. Could you talk about those? And could you also, for the ones that are maybe going to be more obvious to listeners or to programmers, maybe highlight those aspects as well.
Sure. Well, radio broadcasting is a 24/7 service, and it's always ongoing. So all of these upgrades and the work we're kind of processing as it's all happening. But some of the upcoming things that are imminently in the works is a similar amount of maintenance for our in-station production studio. And to touch back on our return to more homegrown programming, listeners will hear even more of those new programs developed locally and curated by our neighbors and friends. And expanding our technical facilities, like our production studio, gives them more options and more to work with. And one of my priorities for that is to make it as accessible as possible for a range of technical users and levels, so that even people who say to me, I'm not techie, can get in here and make a show. And so the production studio needs a similar level of comprehensive maintenance where we kind of gut it out and start over. And that's coming up.
Great. All right. Well, folks, we are here in a pledge drive. You have listened to the state of the station. Give yourself 5 gold stars. And now I would love for you to contemplate donations. So this is a pledge drive. We are here asking for your hard-earned dollars, your support in a variety of ways. The radio will always be here for you free of charge. But if you are somebody who's been a longtime listener and you have not stepped up to support us, I would really encourage you to do that this year. You can do that by going to our website, kmun.org. There is a red donate button that makes it very easy. You can also call us at 503-325-0010. Thank you so much for everything you do to keep this station vibrant, to reflect your community here on the airwaves. We are built by community members for community members. Again, thank you so much for listening. I'm Katie Frankwitz, news director here at KMUN, and this was The State of the Station.